Blog Talk Radio.
The Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Norma Adams Wade. I'm here to sort of share some thoughts with you this wonderful day. It's a little cloudy outside, but that doesn't mean our thoughts have to be cloudy. We can be very optimistic, even with all this going on around us. So we've got two really exciting guests today. Our first guest will be on with us in about a half hour. And I'll wait till she's on and tell you a little bit about her. And then after her, we're having another exciting guest, and we'll wait and talk about her as well. So while we're starting off, let's just kind of review some things have been going on since we last visited. And of course, everyone knows that we lost Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Wow, what a powerhouse. And again, my show is, I'm thinking a lot of things about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the power of one life, how one individual can impact the planet and the people who occupy it. I'm sure all of us have heard different aspects of her life and how former President Clinton did name her to the Supreme Court. And she was really viewed as a warrior for women's rights and as a role model for what women can accomplish. And my thoughts go back to even the period of time when the suffrage movement, when women were fighting for the right to just get the vote. Women couldn't even vote. And then many leaders, and I'm even thinking of Sojourner Truth, who was a predecessor of that whole effort, and how she was such a dynamite force as a female. And even her poem, you've all heard it, Ain't I a Woman? Ain't I a Woman? And she talked about how she had feelings and opinions and how she did not want to be discounted way back during her period of time. And then women who fought in the suffrage movement and successfully was able to get the right for women to vote. And then we move on down to, again, I'm trying to stick with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the impact that she had as a decision maker for the nation, sitting at the high seat of government and lawyers all across the nation bringing their cases to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court being the ultimate decider of an issue. Think of all the work that would go into an issue before it would make its way to the Supreme Court. And there you sit with your cohorts behind that desk, and you know that your input will be the ultimate decision maker. And on many issues that related to the power of women and the rights of women. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a strong force in making those decisions. And so now she has transitioned, and we are faced with a fight. It literally is a fight going on in the seat of government now with President Donald Trump and the elected officials, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and all of the Senate and legislators. They're literally going to fight tooth and nail to try to get a person to replace her who will have the best interests of the nation. We can all remember when the President Barack Obama was leaving office and how he wanted to name a Supreme Court justice because Scalia had just died. And we remember that it was a very bitter partisan because the Republicans blocked Obama's nomination and felt very right to do it. And so Obama did not get to name a replacement for Scalia. And then he left office, and the Republicans had a replacement in place. So now we've got the same situation, but the tables are turned. And Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, and Schumer, Majority Leader, they're saying, well, we should have the same scenario that you Republicans had when Obama left office. But now you're saying that you want to immediately name a replacement. And so now we're just all going to have to stay tuned to see what happens. We know that Justice Zinberg, her body is lying in state. And you're probably watching on TV right now the proceedings of the nation paying tribute to her as she lies in state. It's on TV. You can turn your TV on and watch it. But the Republican leaders are saying immediately after her lying in state and her services, probably by the end of the week, they're saying they're going to name a replacement. Probably would have tried to do it earlier, but they did say, seems like I'm having some technical difficulties. Okay. And y'all have to kind of just stick with me because this whole technology era is something that I'm fighting tooth and nail to come into. So if we have some technical difficulties along the way, just forgive me for it. So by the end of the week, we will see if President Trump will name a replacement. Now, he has said that he is going to name a female, and he has put out the names of a number of possibilities. He did have some men on there initially, but then he finally said that he would definitely name a female replacement. So we're just going to have to stay tuned and see who will get that seat of power. And it's a lifetime position. Whoever he gets, it's a lifetime position. So it is pretty important because, again, the person who he names will bring a certain philosophy to the seat, a certain way of interpreting the Constitution and the laws of the land that go back to post-revolution time. So it's an important, powerful seat. So we'll stay tuned. So other things that are going on in the nation as we get ready for our first guest. Of course, we're hearing continued adventures of our at-home learning method for students in school. We're hearing continued discussions of equipment issues and signing in issues and hotspot issues and certain students not having the right technology in their homes. We've even heard stories, y'all probably saw it, where some students went and sat in front of a fast food place to use the Wi-Fi. Just a family of about three young children, elementary age children, sitting in front of a fast food place to be able to use the Wi-Fi. I was kind of proud of them, though, because it showed that they did have the determination and desire to learn. So I was proud that they and their mom did go to use the facilities of a fast food Wi-Fi. It made me proud. Of course, we're still struggling to inspire all students to realize how important it is at their point in life that they take advantage of education and all of the benefits that education can give them when they do get to be adults. So right now, let's everybody try to do as much as we can. And I think we can try to help the in our area, the Dallas Independent School District, we can try to do what we can to help them and any, and I'm going to encourage corporations, and I know many corporations have really stepped forward to help with donations and technology, but I'm going to encourage corporations and businesses to step forward to do whatever you can to help our local school district with any kind of equipment needs, a technology needs. I certainly can't help them. I cannot help them. But I can urge others who know way more than I do to use their expertise to help our school districts. And then, of course, we soon will have the time for early voting. It's going to begin in a few days. And we want to really line up to vote. Vote, vote, vote. I'm seeing, oh my gosh, I'm seeing all kinds of messages, and I chuckle about it because everybody has a different way of expressing the need and the importance of voting. Well, you say, okay, some people say, oh, my vote doesn't have any power. It doesn't matter. And that's a constant battle to get across the message, particularly to younger generations who feel that, I mean, what's it all about? What's it all about, Alfie? How can my one vote improve my life where I am? And it can be a complex answer. The answer can be complex to try to bring it down to the level of the younger person that you're talking to. And of course, you know, there's the age-old argument of our people, particularly African Americans, descendants of Africa, and the life and death efforts that they made just to get the power to vote. That's an age-old argument. And so now that we have it, what will we do with it? How will we use it? I wish I had a magic wand to wave to get that point across. And, of course, the opposition, we have a two-party system, although there are other parties, the Green Party and other parties, but our primary parties, the Democrats and Republicans, the Democrats are trying very, very hard to get the majority power. The Republicans right now have it, and they're fighting to hold on to it. That's a natural human instinct. And so it all boils down to how many of us can persuade voters of our thinking to go to the polls and vote. There are many different ways, mail-in ballots, early voting, in-person voting. And it's a known fact that the argument right now between Democrats and Republicans is that our president, and I don't think many people can argue with it, has tried a number of things which ultimately will reduce the voting power for people of certain economic levels and certain ethnicities. The post office is a prime example of reducing the power of people to use the post office, and that issue baffles me. I don't know how someone even came up with the idea to try to reduce the voting power. But that's what's going on. So Democrats and elected officials are, what's it called, tit for tat. When one side tries one thing, the other side has to come up with a way to be two or three steps ahead of that. And so there are ways to get your ballot in. Let me take a pause and do a little commercial input right now. Don't forget to cast your vote during the general election on November 3 for Judge Eric Moyer. This is a paid political advertisement and is a reminder about the general election. And so don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer on November 3rd. Also, log on to www.texasmetronews.com or www.garlandjournal.com or www.myimessenger.com, and you could win $300 poll credits or $250 cash. Just take the short survey for your chance to win. Also, another paid political advertisement is a reminder also about the general election on November 3 to cast your ballot for Judge Monica Purdy. And in addition, go to www.texasmetronews.com and click on the Wells Fargo ad. And you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. So those are some of our paid political announcements as we await time to invite our first guest in. How many of you watched the Emmys? I didn't get to see them, and I was disappointed because I very much wanted to see how the Emmys were going to make their presentation virtual. And they had put a lot of thought into it. I did see some of the early promos about it with Jimmy Kimmel as the host. They had put a lot of effort into organizing how the potential winners would be presented and how the awards would be presented. So I'm going to try to go back and see it after the fact. But did many of you get to watch it, and did you enjoy it? And I understand that the viewership was not quite what they had wanted, but I would urge them. I had the privilege to attend the National Association of Black Journalists virtual convention back in early August. And it was an adventure, and we made it through that week. And I was so proud of the organizers who put that, NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists, was one of the first organizations to do in association with Hispanic Association journalists combined. Originally, we would have met in Washington, D.C., as we do every 4 years, but we did it virtually. And we made it through, and I was very proud that they were able to pull that off. How many of you watched sports this week? My dad was an avid baseball enthusiast and a coach for baseball boys back in his era. But now we've got, of course, the NBA and the football league and many other sports that are trying to get back on the level that they were on with this COVID-19 invasion worldwide, the worldwide pandemic. And the owners and the coaches are coming up with all kinds of ways to get the fans back to being able to attend the sports and to view them on TV. And they've made a lot of strides forward. And I think as they keep pushing, even in the face of the pandemic, they're going to be able to give us sports entertainment again. We want to urge you to remember the census, the end of the census, September 30th, the end of this month. And we've got all kind of elected officials urging us, even like with the effort to urge people to vote. We've got two efforts that everyone is really pushing: voting and returning your census. The census, oh my gosh, I've been really educated on how much the census carries weight in the advantages that we get in various communities, even how many elected officials you get, and the money that's brought into school districts, and the monies that are brought for street improvements and all of those things, all just because of you filling out a census form to be counted, to show the number of people who live in a community, who live in a city, who live in a state. And then when our elected officials go to Washington, they can show the numbers. And the numbers will speak of their ability to bring benefits back to their area. So it's really important, really important. So, I'm trying to remember that story that I heard about a sports figure who had a traumatic emotional experience and how he turned that around. I wanted to share that story with you, but since I can't remember that particular story, I'm wondering how many of you have survived experiences with the pandemic, the virus, and how you made it through. There are many success stories, and we don't really get to hear a lot about the success stories of the pandemic. I'm wondering how many of you have a story to tell about that, and how maybe you thought you weren't going to make it, but you did. But you weren't going to make it, but you did. So you can tune in on our chat. And again, I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but you can tune in on our chat and share your experiences that you had with surviving the pandemic. And there are other major illnesses that give us overcomer stories to share with others. I have a number of friends who have overcome major illnesses, and they tell their stories as quote-unquote testimonies, and they indeed are testimonies. So I'm wondering how many of you have those stories to tell about other illnesses. And there are all kind of people who have ended up being national heroes because they overcame. Even Governor Abbott, I have to give him a shout out. He reminds me of former President Roosevelt, who led the country in a wheelchair. And Governor Abbott, Republican Governor Abbott, but a fighter, a winner. He overcame a major experience that put him in a wheelchair. And so there are so many other stories like that to be told. Well, what's your story? What is your story as an overcomer? I overcame my hectic week. my week has been really hectic. They often are, as yours. And we're all doing the best we can. We're doing the best we can under challenging circumstances. And I'm just thinking about the environment and how our environment is just really going haywire right now. Have you followed the fires on the West Coast and the floods in different points across the nation? Flooding and fires and hurricanes. Our environment is really under the gun, and yet we persevere. We persevere and we overcome. We persevere and we overcome. But what is going on with our environment? Of course, now we talk about global warming and how global warming is the reason for all of these different environmental catastrophes happening. There are a number of people who don't believe in global warming. I believe in it. I just wonder how anyone can look around and see all of the things that are happening with our environment and not accept that something is going on. Something is going on. Global warming. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about global warming? Before we bring in our next guest, who should be coming in a couple of minutes, let me just remind you again to don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder in general about the general election, which is November 3. Also, I want to tell you to log on to www.texasmetronews.com or www.garlandjournal.com or www.myimessenger.com. And you could win $300 in toll credits or $250 cash. Just take the short survey for your chance to win. Also, this paid political announcement is a reminder that on the general election, November 3, to cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. And also, go to www.texasmetronews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card for 3 months. So I'm looking forward to our guest who's going to be with us pretty soon. How many of you have gotten your pets the vaccinations for your pets? I was reading a story in the newspaper the other day about a bat that had rabies. And they were warning people to keep your eye on your pets. Now, I must admit, I was kind of interested in how one bat could cause consternation like that, because apparently it was just one bat. I don't know. I didn't get all of the details, but there was a stark warning to say that we should watch our pets. And so I think we're ready to, okay, I'm going to try to bring my guest in. Can you hear me? Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad to, well, thank you for coming aboard. So everyone, let me give you a little background about our guest. This is Deborah Peake Haynes, and she is a passionate food connoisseur with a love for healthy eating. And her goal is to spread her message of the healing properties of healthy eating as far and wide as she can. Her journey for holistic healing started in a very interesting way. It was when she was not able to get pregnant back in the 1990s. But finally, with the help of a holistic gynecologist, she and her husband delivered a healthy, young, vibrant baby who is now a young lady in her own right. It is a well-known fact that Ms. P. Kane is one half of the married couple of Deborah P. Kane and Dr. Frederick B. Haynes III, who we know is senior pastor of Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And Ms. P. Kane also is an author of a very informative food book. She's a speaker across many platforms about healthy eating. She has a podcast. She runs various projects. And she's just an all-around go-getter. And so we're going to have Ms. P. Kane to come and begin to tell us some of the things she's doing. So first, let me, in addition to welcoming you, I want to ask you about food. Now, you know, food is our weakness as a people. So let's start our discussion with how can an individual begin to make a change in our eating habits? And I know I've tried it and I've struggled. I'm sure I'm not alone. So tell us, how can a person begin? What's the first few steps that you take to change your eating habits? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, and I want to add to that, because you're making me think about just our modern lifestyles. Rush, rush, rush. Run here, run there. And I know I'm guilty with that last minute thing. Okay, you go through the whole day and put out all those fires, and then you think, oh, I've got to eat. And then even with feeding our families, and we go through all those other things, and then at the last minute, where we go to a fast food place and grab some hamburgers and fries. So what do we do about that? Okay, change your mind. Change your mind. Okay, okay. Okay, all right, now let me stop you right there. Series of events and choices. Oh my goodness. Tell us about choices. Okay. Poor choices. Okay. 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 So it sounds like we have to take on certain responsibilities as occupants of this planet. Wow. Of course. Okay. Right. Oh, wow. Yes, it is. We make a lot of choices and other people have to pay for it. Wow. You know what? And you know what that makes, not to go down a rabbit hole, but that makes me think about one of my pet peeves is people who throw trash out of a car window. And I mean, I almost get on a soapbox about that. And what you just said made me think about it. Okay, somebody's driving along and they have trash. Now, rather than having some kind of container in their car that they can drop it in and then dump it when they get to wherever they're going, they throw it out the window and everybody else on the planet or in the state or in that city or in that neighborhood pays the price for them making the choice to throw it out the window rather than taking that personal responsibility. So what you said just really tipped me off about that. We make choices and other people pay the price. Now I want to go back to holistic. You mentioned holistic. At the fear that someone may not fully understand what holistic, and I think the term is holistic health or holistic eating. School us about that. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. You know, and I'm always intrigued when I hear it mentioned about mind, body, and spirit. And I hear you saying it in so many words that your total health has those those three aspects tied together. One relates to the other, relates to the other. Tell us a little bit more about that. Mind, body, spirit. Okay. But we're also told that part of the problem with how our people eat has to do with economics, because it's cheaper to eat junk, isn't it? Tell me about that. Not necessarily. Okay, tell us about that, because we're always heard, well, I can get a hamburger, but if I go to Whole Foods or something, I'm going to pay more. Tell us, get us out of that thinking that it's cheaper to eat junk. Okay. Okay, wait now. Let me stop you. Is that on Wednesdays, or tell me the time? Wait. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's just drive it home. You got to change the way you think about it. When I get up in the morning and I'm thinking, okay, I got to go through the day, I got to change how I'm thinking about how I'm going to get through the day. Now, I heard that you are cooking tonight. I'm going to grab a friend to bring her in.
Hello.
This is Cheryl Smith. She said she heard you speaking.
Hi. How are you? Yes. Well, you're cooking, so.
We're asking for an open invitation.
No, I mean. Well, you know, and this is the thing, Norma.
Okay.
She did a demonstration, and I don't know about you, but
right.
I used to cooking my collard greens
for
a long time.
Uh-huh.
And she cooked them like this, like she was a dream of genie or bewitched or something. She just...
But see, Deborah, I'm following that same thing. Because when you said
go and buy the dried beans. I like that idea, but then instantly my thought went, oh my gosh, I got to stand over the stove. Okay, well, help me out. See, and that's where I got to change my way of thinking. And that's I'm going to keep saying that point because you started off saying you got to change your way of thinking. And I'm not a cook. I do not enjoy the kitchen. I avoid it at all costs. Now, my daughter is great, and I tell everybody, my daughter had to be great because she knew her mama was not going to cook. So in order to survive, she had to learn, but she loves it. And so, but I'm really going to work on that point. You've got to change how you think about it. Okay.
No, your kitchen can be my medicine. I'm coming over.
Oh, now, see, I hadn't thought about it like that. I hadn't thought about it as being the most important place in the house. I had not thought about that. Okay, Deborah's healing. By the way, let's go ahead, since you bring that up, let's go ahead and talk about your company. Give us a little bit of a spiel about how you got that. Now, we're going to, let me tell the audience this. We're going to talk about some new project, one particular new project that Deborah P. Kings has going, and it's with some students here in Dallas. And we're going to talk about that, but right now she's going to tell us a little bit about Deborah's Healing Kitchen and how that came about. So tell us. Correct. Okay. Wow. And now let me pause you right there. Okay. So what I heard you say was you wanted families to help to eat healthier, and you wanted parents not to be so bombarded with kids who push them to buy trendy, unhealthy things. So your thinking was, I'm going to get to the minds of the students, and then if you can get to the student, they will make the decisions themselves, and the benefit for them is those things that you named, healthier skin and all of that. You can think better and all of that. Oh, I'm just going to put a pin in that, how that was to me just so wise. And I'm going to call it going to the source, because the children, they're the source. They are what the parents are. Their parents are not so much trying to please them, but the parents want them to be healthy. So if you can get to the child themselves and get their thinking correct, oh, wow, that's a major point. Oh, my gosh, that was just so wise. And so now tell us again. Okay, give me the name of the program again. What is it called in Lincoln? The Health, okay,
Okay, the Healthy Youth Project. And you're based right now, you're based at Lincoln High School. Is that correct? That was the pilot program. Okay. It's already expanding. Okay. And do we have yet some names of some other schools where parents can know about the project, or is that something that's still being put together? Yeah, right. Okay. But it's going to be... Right. Now you bring me to something that to me that's also fascinating. As I drive around the community and I see gardens, I mean, and my eyes just have never focused on gardens, but to me, it seems the message is really getting across, I could be wrong, about the importance of growing your own food. And see, I didn't even, until I learned about you, and the project at Lincoln, I didn't even really know that there was a school that had a garden. I had heard about some community, a group in Fort Worth, and of course the Bon Ton people. I heard about them. I personally didn't know that there was a school. And of course, former First Lady Michelle Obama talked about, you know, growing food and what have you. So tell me about the gardening. And you mentioned that you have. I think you mentioned that you have a young lady working with you about that. But what about this whole, and how are the kids feeling about the gardening? How are they tuning into it? Okay. I get that. Okay. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Oh. Ooh. Hush your mouth. Wow. And you should have been. I mean, just think of that. I'm blown away when you say, of course, I'm from an era where collard greens were the thing. But just think about that. So many of them had never had collard greens. And you introduced them to them, and they liked it. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Right. Exactly. Now, you have written a cookbook. You may have written more than one book, but just what I thought. I thought it was more than one. Tell us about your books, what their names and what they are about. Okay. Okay. Ah. Wow. Uh-huh. Like me, and I gotta do this, yeah. Seriously, I need that T-shirt that says, "Just do it." I need to go find that teacher. Just do it, you know. Just get that pot. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. being sick. All right, now let me absorb that thought. Isn't that something? Being sick is complicated. Wow. Sound of cure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, wow. That's heavy duty. That's a powerful thought. Oh, wow. Yeah. Right. Now, I want to know, also back to your cookbooks, do you have some special dishes that are your favorites or that you would suggest would be good for people to just kind of start off with? Or what are some of your favorite dishes or things that you just enjoy cooking? Okay. Okay. So okay, now when you say she was known for her cabbage, can you give any family secrets away about what? Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. 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 Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, let me stop you at the lentils. Now, see, growing up in the South, I'm a Dallas native, it was many years before I even heard of lentils. And then, let me go from lentils to black beans. I never heard of black beans, but once I was well into adulthood and went to some a banquet, and I thought, okay, they're on my plate. I'm going to try them. I fell in love with black beans, and I had lived my whole life avoiding them and not knowing about them, but once I tried them, and so you're saying lentils, and you're saying they're really good. So continue. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Okay. Mm. Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, 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 okay. Let me take just a real quick, don't go anywhere. Let me take just a quick break here. I need to remind the audience, don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is a reminder that the general election is November 3. Also, log on to www.TexasMetroNews.com or www.GarlandJournal.com or www.MyiMessenger.com, and you could win $300 in toll credits or $250 cash. Just take the short survey for your chance to win. Also, this paid political advertisement is also a reminder that on the general election on November 3, also cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy. And in addition, go to www.TexasMetroNews.com, click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you could win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. Okay, so now I also want to... did we talk about your podcast? I think, are you still doing a podcast? Okay. 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 Right. Well, you know, it struck me when you talked about being healthy, being sick. Being sick is complicated, and that stood out to me because I know our people particularly have all kinds of health issues, high blood pressure, and like you said, cholesterol, and oh gosh, I'm blanking out on all the different issues that we as a people deal with. And those things are complicated, and they, once you have them, you are considered to be quote unquote sick. And so what you're saying and these healthy recipes that you're talking about really speak to me that this healthy eating can change your life and your different aspects that your guests talk about concerning health on your podcast. Now, I want to move from there to how you, just as an individual, wear the various hats that you wear, real estate and owning your own businesses and speaking to different groups and what have you. And, of course, being a minister's wife, which is one hat unto itself, I'm sure. How do you navigate your time and your priorities? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But let me just step right in right there because that leads me to my next question. And you talked about the students and how you had to kind of get in their head to introduce the idea of gardening and growing your own food. Do any stories come to mind of any particular students that you really struggled to reach and then finally there was a breakthrough? Have you experienced? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 Right. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I got through. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's a wonderful story. I love that. And you know what that makes me think about? You know how you hear stories about teachers who are in the grocery store and some person comes up to them and says, you're a teacher so-and-so, and they share with that teacher how they impacted their life. You're going to have that. You're going to be in a grocery store. Wow. What? Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Right, right, right. We talked about I want to just spend a little bit more time on the farming idea and how foreign that is to us. And you mentioned that there's a young lady who's working with you. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, is it called holistic farming or something like that? I understand the way she brings a certain aspect of gardening and farming to your class. Yeah, well, what does that mean? And that's kind of where I'm going with this. I mean, you hear all the time, you know, this food was grown organically. So talk to us about that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So how do you keep the bugs away, you know? Okay. Right, right. Uh-huh. Right. Okay, okay. Uh-huh. Right, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Yeah. Okay, now here's another thing, and back in the kitchen again. We as a people, and I guess just people in general, are warned about the dangers of using salt to season your food. Of course, now salt, biblically, we know, is considered a good thing, but tell us about salt and its good and bad points, and then if you're not using salt, you know, people will always say, well, that didn't taste good because it didn't have salt seasoning. So what else can we do to make the food taste right if your doctor has told you not to use salt? And then tell us about herbs and what they do. Okay. 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 Right, right, right. Okay. 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 But oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to explore this thing of different kinds of salt. That was interesting. Okay. 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 Let me. We're coming down to our time. I know you're going to leave us at 12:30, but I do want to get in any points that you personally want to make, whether it's about the expanding your student a project or even the distribution of the food there at your church, Friendship West and the Wednesday food distribution. What other points did you want to bring up and maybe we have not touched on so far? Okay. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, but let's pause right there. Give us some steps. Salads are a basic. Give us a good salad to make. I mean, what would we put in a salad that would pass your approval? Mhm. Now, what do you mean? What do you mean, green leaf lettuce? What is that? Is that green leaf? Okay. Now I know iceberg. I know iceberg. Is that iceberg? Okay. That's a good thing, though, isn't it? Okay. Okay. Oh. Okay. Right now, what are the artichoke hearts? Because I've had this very little in my life. What do they do? Oh, okay. 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 And see, and that was interesting to me. See, I want to talk about the radish because that struck me when you said radishes because now I have had radishes on rare, but I can't taste them. Now, am I off base that I can't taste them? Okay. What? Oh, that's the way to say that again because so many of us have allergies. So tell us about that. Radishes? Okay. Mhm. Okay. 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 Wow. Okay, but now tell me about eggplant in the little time we have left. 'Cause I can't think of anything to do with an eggplant. Well. Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, that's interesting. How did she cook it? How did she cook the eggplant? You blocked it out of your memory. Okay, okay. Okay, okay. Well, listen, we are about pretty much out of the time. I have so much enjoyed talking with you, and I have learned. My head, didn't you see my head expanding? My head has expanded, and I really am going to, I'm going to do the salad thing with these different, particles in it, and work on just changing my mind, and that it all begins there. So thank you so much for spending the time with us. And are you speaking anywhere publicly today or what? Okay, okay. Yep. Okay, great. Great, great, great. Well, you're going to, next time we have you on, you will have, be able to tell us about different schools where the parents can go and look at your expanding project, which sounds just, it's so needed. Thank you so much for even coming up with the idea. And I'm so pleased that the students said, well, we're going to see you again. That's great. Well, people, we have been visiting with Deborah P. Kane. She's a lady for all seasons, and she wears a million hats. And thank you again. Bye-bye. All right. Okay. 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 So that was Deborah P. Kane, and she's just a wealth of knowledge about health and healthy eating and all of that. So we're going to prepare now for our next guest, who should be coming with us fairly soon. But while we are waiting to connect with our next guest, let me remind you again of some paid political announcements. Don't forget to cast your vote for Judge Eric Moyer. This paid political advertisement is also a reminder about the general election that is November 3 this year, 2020. Also, log on to www.texasmetronews.com or www.garlandjournal.com or www.myimessenger.com, and you could win $300 in toll credit or $250 cash. Just take the short survey for your chance to win. Also, this paid political advertisement is a reminder that on the general election, which is November 3, to cast your vote for Judge Monica Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Also, go to www.texasmetronews.com and click on the Wells Fargo ad, and you can win your own special iMessenger t-shirt or a business card ad for 3 months. And I think we're ready to join our next guest. And there she is. Who is? Hi, hi, hi. Hello, hello, hello. So, everybody, this is Dr. Linda Emerson. That correctly, Emerson. Okay. Now let me tell you a little bit about her and why she's here today. She is a doctor. She's an educator. She's a columnist. She's a radio host. She's a television personality. She lectures internationally. She even writes songs and is a singer. All of these are different aspects of Dr. Linda Emerson. And she's a manufacturer of products that relate to hair, scalp, and skin.
and she resides in Arlington, and she is in the profession that's called, and help me to say it right, and we'll get this from you, trichology. Now, Dr. Amerson, hello and welcome, and please begin by telling us what is trichology, which is your main aspect of medicine, and tell us about it. Okay. Mhm. Okay. That's got to be even anybody who's having hair problems, but to be a young person, that's got to be pretty traumatic, I would think, as for an 8-year-old. Right. Now, September is a special month, and you're going to tell us what is special about this month and what we need to know during the month of September. Tell us about that. Okay. 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 Oh. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay, so I wonder, how did, what was it about alopecia that, first of all, made someone realize that people needed to be made aware of it, and then someone came up with the idea to make the whole month as an awareness month? Tell us about alopecia. Kind of like Black History Month, I guess, because, you know, Black History started as a week, and so, okay. Go ahead. What? Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. Wow. Has science found out, I guess, what some of the common causes are of alopecia, or is it just kind of no way to predict who's going to end up with it? Is it inherited? I mean, what? Okay, case by case. Okay, now what are those patterns? What are those patterns? The male pattern is. Okay. Ah. Okay. So what got you interested in trichology? I know you do. So tell it for the 1,000th time. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I do understand that you talk about the scalp. We don't think about our scalp, do we? I mean, you know, we really are caught up in hair, but why is scalp so important? seem to you that people are becoming more aware about alopecia and different unhealthy conditions with hair? Are we learning anything? I mean, are you seeing any increase in awareness? Now, what do you mean? Tell me. Explain that. Explain that. Oh. Wow. Right. Now that's informative, you know, but I guess it gets down to the basic. You've got to have your antenna up, I guess, for just about most decisions that you make. I mean, that even reminds me of elderly people who get these scam calls, and a lot of them lose money and thing. What you're saying about be careful what you take in on social media, to me, that goes into that same category. Now, I know that you talk about nutrition in as it relates to hair health. Tell us about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let me stop you there. I never thought about water helping your hair. I never thought about that. That's extremely. I know that water is extremely healthy, but I just had never thought about relating how much water I intake to how healthy hair could be. Wow. Extremely interesting. Now, I understand that you do something called an annual scalp analysis. What is that, and what does that entail? But now you do that. You do those, is that correct? Uh-huh. Now let me just be honest, it sounds expensive. Uh-huh. We do indeed. Not that bad. That's not that bad. Okay. Oh my gosh, did y'all hear that? Dr. Linda Amerson is offering a free consultation for her special week this week. So how would they follow up and get in touch with you and all that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, that's great. Okay, y'all be sure and get that. That sounds wonderful, wonderful. And it sounds like it's, you know, I had, like you said, the dry hair. I think that's a common thing. And you just educated me that dry hair relates to how much water you intake. So it's so much to learn. in this area. Now, I want to talk before we, you have just about another 15 minutes with us, and thank you so much for taking that time. But now, I consider you to be a really gifted, for lack of a better word, businesswoman. I mean, you have covered the waterfront in your field, and you have graced the cover of so many magazines that are both health related and hair related. So how do you go about getting people to pay attention to your message of healthy hair and to the point where it's it is respected as a business? How do you go about that and accomplish that?
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I love it. Okay.
Okay. Now, you do, you are a manufacturer, and you produce various products that help the hair and scalp. I want to hear about some of those. Can you kind of give us a little scenario of some of the various products that the public can, and they can get them from you, that will help scare and help? And these are products that you manufacture. Tell us about some.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay. What is that? What's a follicle? What is a follicle serum? Okay. Now, do you have, well, I imagine there are several or maybe more, but a success story. I mean, some individuals that you personally know of, you don't have to call any names, but some stories you can tell us of what it looked like from the beginning and how you worked with them and how they came out in the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, how does the public find your clinic? Where is your clinic, and how can you tell them about coming to your clinic? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, now this is a second location, is that right? Oh, okay, okay. I just need to clear that up. Okay. Spell Pantego. And that's near what? Is it Arlington? Went near Arlington. Okay, okay. So 2304 West Pioneer Parkway in Pantego near Arlington. Okay. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I want to go back. Well, two things I want to talk about. How can the public get your products? I think you told us a little bit earlier, but tell us again, how can the public get your products? Okay. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, dear public, I think that's a valuable piece of information, and these success stories are really should sway you to know that there is hope. If you're secretly hiding under wigs and all of that thing, that you can go and see Dr. Amerson, and she can give you a consultation, and like in these success stories, over a number of months, she can really revive you. Now, just a little bit, in the little bit of time we have left, talk to us about males. You know, we always think of hair and women, but then, you know, well, males do wrestle with baldness and stuff. But what are you seeing from your vantage point about males and how males handle their hair problem? Okay. Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I've heard of that one. Yeah. Okay. Mhm. Is there a particular age where the males begin, or is that something that's a case by case situation when they begin to have hair problems, or what? Huh. That's interesting. That's interesting. But I would imagine that an 18-year-old would be totally lost when they begin to have hair problems as to what to do about it. Okay. As we wrap up, I want you to, any points that we have not covered that you really want the public to know about, and even about this month of September, tell us about any points you want to add that we have not covered. Okay, good information. So about how many trichologists are there? I mean, again, I'm very uninformed. I'm thinking that the younger generation still may not know about psychology and know that that's a profession that they can pursue. I mean, are there a lot of trichologists? Okay. Right. Okay. 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 Well, Dr. Amerson, we are about to sign off, and it's been very informative and such a pleasure to talk with you. I've learned a lot, and that's one thing I enjoy about talking with people who specialize in areas, because you learn so much. So again, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you. And so we will go ahead and sign you off. You are so welcome. All right, bye-bye. Okay, so gosh, audience, I'm thinking that your head has expanded like mine today, and I've learned so many things, and that's the beauty of life, that you're never beyond learning. So I learned about healthy eating and healthy cooking and gardening. I learned about hair care and the importance of caring for your scalp. And so I urge everybody to go out and use the information you learned today to make your life better. Make your life better. And so we will tune off till next time. And hope you have a great rest of your day.
Something.
Yeah.
You're off of stream now.
So if I'm off. So when I ended her show,
did you hit me?
I did hit you.
No. You're still up. Okay, you're in the call.